This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Resistol. We live it every day.
What sets Resistol apart is the legacy of the cowboys who wear the brand. These traditions are passed down from fathers to sons, from heroes to future champions. Since 1927, Resistol has been handcrafting the finest American-made cowboy hats. Generation after generation, we live it every day.
This is The Gauge with host Chance Conradud.
Are you freaking serious? It's Conrado.
This is The Gauge, and I am Chance Conrado. On this episode of the podcast, we have got Sid Steiner and Tilden Hooper. Guys, we are live from a tin barn at the Yellowstone Riggin' Rally. We had some inclement weather in Darby, Montana, and so we had to make some adjustments. We had set our whole studio up kind of outside on one of the concert stages. It was really cool, but we had to scrap that idea, and luckily the Darby, Montana Rodeo Association was able to get us into a mock studio in a tin barn. So if you hear the rain on the roof, that's what it is. Regardless, Sid Steiner and Tilden Hooper are here to kind of talk about how standalone bareback riding has become a thing, how the PRCA has sanctioned these events, and how being involved with Yellowstone is helping to elevate the sport of rodeo, and we talk about a few other things. It's kind of a short episode. It's not the traditional thing because we did take the show on the road, but I think you guys should check it out. We also did a few other episodes, and we want to thank Resistol for sponsoring the show, so check it out.
I'm glad you guys were able to kind of take the time, and honestly, we're pretty excited to be here. We're really thankful that there was a tin building for us to kind of lock up into, but I guess kind of what I was wondering, Sid, you've been on the show before. We kind of did the whole thing about you and your life and your story and all the cool stuff that you've kind of done with, I mean, just kind of being a different kind of a trailblazer with rodeo in a different way, which I think anybody who loves rodeo and appreciates, like me, I really appreciate not the just the regular cut suit, kind of, if you will, with cowboys, and you just did something different. And actually, your whole family, it's just a different way of doing it. It makes me more comfortable to wear my skinny jeans.
Well, you know, I don't know that I was a trailblazer. I think maybe I came along at the right time. You know, I think there were a lot of guys that were out there and had their own style way before me. Like I said, I feel like I just came along at the right time. But, you know, I enjoyed, you know, being myself and who I was in the rodeo world, and those are some really good days.
I mean, I was a really young kid, and I didn't know Sid Steiner from anybody. I just knew the guy with the crazy clothes who was ripped, because ripped guys weren't really in rodeo.
I did have some crazy clothes.
Yes, you did, but I actually liked them, and I'll never forget. Actually, we used that book cover of yours when we did our podcast with you, but that was the craziest thing.
Yeah, they were, like I said, they were good times. Rocker asked me the other day about one of the shirts that I wore at the finals, I think in the second round in 2000, and I didn't have a real good run, and I was kind of a guy, I believe clothes were lucky or unlucky, and so I ripped that shirt off and I threw it in a dumpster, and Rocker saw a picture of it the other day, and he said, "Hey, Dad, where's that shirt? I want to start wearing that one." I said, "We're going to have to go look in the garbage in Vegas, because I chunked that one."
That one didn't make the cut.
You know, that's funny. That's how, oh, my God, my mom's here, but Ivy's going to kill me for saying this, but my sister Ivy is always that way. Little Breezy would not change her socks. In fact, she does that stuff now.
You got to believe in something.
You do. I mean, especially when you are counting on round money and stuff like that. I mean, things change night to night in NFR. So,
no doubt.
I mean, you know that better than anybody.
Yeah, no, it's especially the money they're paying out now. It's big jumps are made every night. And I mean, I'm not super superstitious, I guess, but I definitely did start the NFR out with a hat last year and changed about the third round back to the one I was wearing the year before, just because it didn't seem to be working.
Right.
Well, you're better than me. If I wouldn't win in one, I usually stomp it.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, everybody's a little bit superstitious here and there, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah. So one thing that's, I guess, when you guys did that first rigging rally in Weatherford, I will speak for myself, but I did not really realize it was going to turn into this. I mean, it's pretty badass. I mean, for you, being a bareback rider, and you've been a bareback rider for quite a while.
Yep.
I mean, it's got to be pretty special to be a part of something that elevates the sport of bareback, because it's one of the smallest singular sports and rodeo.
Oh, no doubt. It's the roughest event in rodeo. It's the most physically demanding event in rodeo. It's the wildest, craziest one. So the number of guys that do it are a little smaller, no doubt. And I think, you know, I just really have enjoyed the chance to get to ride at the one over there, you know, in Weatherford, and then getting to ride here. You know, anytime you're able in any event, and especially in the bareback riding, to showcase the top guys and put them on, in our event, the top horses, you know, that makes for a good show. And it's exciting to get to ride at this kind of money as a competitor. And I kind of get the best of both worlds. I get to kind of be a little bit behind the scenes. And then I, you know, like on days like today when it's raining and everybody's working real hard and having to do all the stuff that's not that fun, I'm going to get to go out there and show off here in a little bit. So I kind of get the best of both worlds.
I mean, it's so funny because I got here Friday, but I was sweating my butt off. I was like, I should have wore shorts yesterday like you guys were. And come today, it's like I couldn't find enough jackets to put on. It's crazy in Montana how the weather changes.
Yeah, no doubt. It was definitely a lot different yesterday, but I told Sid this yesterday. The weather won't affect the performance or the show you see tonight. This cool weather and a little bit of rain, them horses will be fresher, they'll be wilder, the mud will be flying out there, and the guys will be reared back giving it to them. So it'll be, you know, in the bareback riding, any other event, it might kind of mess things up a little bit, but you throw a wrench in the deal in the bareback riding, it just makes it wilder and crazier and better watching.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to watch, but I guess one of the things that's interesting is how did the idea for a rigging rally come to be? Because, I mean, it's basically you guys who came up with this.
Yeah, I mean, Tilden and these guys have been coming out and helping Rocker for a few years now, and we've gotten to be really good friends with them. And in that time, they'll come out and get on some horses at the house, and I've been, you know, getting a little better horses so they can come practice and tune up. And it's a real advantage for Rocker to get on with these guys. Man, that's just what we've gotten, what we like to do. We like to buck horses and have a good time. And when this COVID deal hit, all the guys were kind of sitting around. I told Till, I said, and my dad, everybody was like, hey, why don't we get a group of the guys together and do what we like to do and do it for some money? And so Tilden, you know, he sells himself short. He doesn't just ride. He did a lot of the groundwork of putting all these together. But he called all the guys, and pretty much what he said was, we're going to do the best we can on money, and we're going to get on Steiner's horses. And every one of them said, we're in. And so, you know, when you started getting Clayton Bigelow and Casey Field, Mason Clemens, and Tim O'Connell and the gang all committing, well, then sponsors started jumping in. So, you know, all we could tell them was we were going to do the best we could. So it was pretty special. Before we bucked the first horse, we got to tell them there was a little over $42,000 that they were riding for and a really badass buckle. And a damn good time afterwards. So it really came together fast and was really fun, and I think this one's going to be great too.
I mean, there's something about this Darby, Montana setup here. I mean, when we pulled in here on Friday and I looked at it, I was like, this is a cool –
It's cool.
This is cool. And then that Yellowstone buckle, and that's another thing. The way that kind of the somebody was telling me about you were – when you were buying your place in Weatherford, that's kind of how the Yellowstone relationship started.
Yeah, well, you know, my place is next to Taylor Sheridan is my neighbor, and we've gotten to be good friends. And he comes over and likes to kind of get in the arena and help pick up a little bit when we buck horses. And then he was at the first rigging rally, and, you know, Taylor just loves cowboy stuff, you know. And I mean, he's all about the cowboy brand and the way of life and promoting it, which I think's been great for, you know, the lifestyle of being a cowboy and the sport of rodeo. So when we came up here, we were up in Montana, and that's where they're filming. And he said, hey, man, why don't we put on a rigging rally like you guys did down in Weatherford for the cast and the crew? And so that's really how it came together. I called Till and I said, hey, let's rally the troops and have a good time and buck some nice horses. And, man, the other thing about doing it up here in Montana is there's a lot of great contractors in this area that have incredible horses, you know. So it was fortunate that those guys were up here and, you know, just like the rigging rally down in Weatherford, we kind of said, hey, guys, we don't know how much we can pay for out money. We don't really know where we're at. And they said, hey, we're in. And, man, what a neat family for these contractors and these cowboys to not need a guarantee and just say, you know what, we trust you guys. We believe in what you're doing, and we'll be there. And it's turned out really good.
I mean, we're happy to kind of be a part of it. And I know everybody who's kind of involved, we've been kind of making the rounds like you do and when you're at these places. And it's just cool, right, to have another outlet for one of rodeo's sports, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny because everything's almost its own sport. It's all rodeo, but it's its own sport. Right. And you've got team roping every week, every night of the week in Texas, everywhere. You can go anywhere. You can drive 30 miles from any city in Texas, and you got a team roping or a barrel racing you can go to. But you don't have that for bareback riding or things like that. So what you guys are doing with this rig and rally deal, I mean, I hope you guys have six of them a year.
Yeah, I don't think we actually have a number in mind. One thing we're really all on the same page with is that we're more concerned with the quality of the events than the quantity. And if we could have six and they're all awesome events and everything, I think that would be great, you know. But the main thing is to get the money up, to get the horses there, and to get the guys there, you know. And I cannot say enough how humbling this whole experience has been, because like Sid said, everyone has just thrown in and helped. And like, I mean, even you guys with 12 Gauge Ranch and the sponsors and everyone, like, I mean, no one's really known exactly what's going on other than that we're going to put on a hell of a show and everybody's going to have a good time. And no one asks any questions. They're just like, heck yeah, we're in, you know. And that goes for the sponsors, the cowboys, the contractors. There's guys out there in slicker suits right now that drove up here from Texas to come help. Just to come help, you know what I mean? Right. Like, it is really something to see everyone that has just jumped on board with this, and it's like I said, very humbling.
Well, and I don't know if you get that in any other culture.
I don't think you do. I think that's what's special about
it. You know, and it's not just, like Dylan said, the contractors and the cowboys and all the great sponsors, but, you know, you've got, you know, to me, arguably the best voice that's ever been in the rodeo business of Bob Tallman, and, you know, obviously we did our first one in his hometown of Weatherford, and so, you know, we said, Bob, we just, you know, anything we could do and have your voice a part of it, he said, I'm in. Let's do it. I'm in. So, you know, we called him on this one. We said, hey, Bob, I know it's a pretty tough trip, but, you know, he's like, hey, I love it. I want to be a part of it. Him and Anthony Lucia, man, you know, all these guys, it's neat to see that they've been in the rodeo business as long as they all have, and they believe in what we're doing, and they want to get behind it. I'm like Tillman, it's very, very humbling.
Well, and for you, I mean, gosh, you left rodeo and, you know, time-wise, just recently came back to it. And for you guys to kind of, your family to come on and help it so much, I mean, that's kind of the theme that's going around. And I'm sure Tilden Hill hears it all the time about you guys, but how happy everybody is to kind of have the Steiners back in rodeo and how much you're helping grow the sport in such a short amount of time.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that. We love the bucking horses, and I love it that my son likes it so much, and these guys have been so great to him. You know, he's 16, but he thinks he's one of the fellas.
He is one of the guys, no doubt.
And so, I mean, they've been great to him. But, you know, like I've told a lot of people, I did get out of the rodeo business for when I retired in 2002. And I really had no plans of coming back around. Rocker fell in love with riding bareback horses, and first call I made was Ty Murray. And I said, hey, Rocker's thinking he might want to ride bareback horses. And he said, well, get his little ass over here. We need to get on the bucking machine. And he spent countless hours with him. So is Tilden and KC. And, you know, it's neat how I left the rodeo business for so long. But as soon as I dipped my toe back in the water because of Rocker, how they welcomed me back in. And I mean, really, it tells you what kind of family. And honestly, I was naive to that. I didn't know that rodeo was that tight knit a family that they would welcome me back in. And even an event that I didn't ever have a part of, to, you know, the guys say, yeah, man, bring him, let's rock and roll. And it's been neat to watch.
Well, I mean, you hear that and you're probably like, yeah, what do you expect? You know, it's like anybody who like rope calves, for instance, right? If you were to call Joe Beaver and you wanted to go over there and rope calves, you'd be able to, right? Or anybody, really. I mean, it's just, there's something special about rodeo. And we were talking about that with Cole and Layton and Rocker, about all of them, because they all kind of got started at the same time, which, you know, for a guy like you or Casey or even Tim, who's kind of been going for a while, to see a guy like Cole or Layton, who's been doing it for like 4 years, to be at this level, and what they do is they credit guys like Tilden and you for helping them. And you just don't get that in anything but rodeo, I don't think.
Well, I mean, that means a lot to me that they feel that way. But it's bareback riding is something that it's the hardest thing in the world to figure out, but eventually a switch just flips, and once you kind of get it going your way, it just steamrolls from there. And for myself personally, it didn't come fast like that. It took a long time, you know. So and we do a lot of schools and stuff over the year, And I mean, not to take anything away from other kids, I've been involved with helping kids for the last 10 years, but like, what's so fun about helping Rocker is you can tell him to do something and he just goes and does it. I've never been around a kid his age that was as fearless as he is and that can control his emotions the way he can in the buck and shoot and in the ride, you know. And so it makes it fun. I mean, I don't know if coaching's the word or whatever, but like to help a kid like that can take what the knowledge you have to tell them and go out there and use it, it's fun, man. And for me, on the other side of the deal, for me to get to form a friendship with Sid and his dad and their family, man, it's been a cool thing for me. You know, I didn't grow up around rodeo, and it's just been the greatest thing. It changed the course of my life, and so I'm a huge fan first and foremost. So to get to have a front row seat to all this has been, you know, it's been awesome.
What sets Resist All apart is the legacy of the cowboys who wear the brand. These traditions are passed down from fathers to sons, from heroes to future champions. Since 1927, Resist All has been handcrafting the finest American-made cowboy hats. Generation after generation, we live it every day.
Well, I mean, what is your background from when you were a kid?
Oh, man, I was a, you know, subpar football, baseball, soccer player, and subpar wouldn't even be a good word for how I was at basketball. I tried about every sport there was, and it wasn't that I wasn't great at them or good at them. Nothing really ever caught my interest, you know. And I, as a young guy, like, I mean, Clint, he's a little bit younger than me, but, you know, most of my friends and stuff growing up, like, whenever I said, hey, I'm gonna go be a cowboy, I watched a few movies, and my dad used to ride, and I saw some pictures of him, and I just fell in love with the idea of being a cowboy. And I lived in town, so it wasn't like I was going to be working on a ranch. I didn't have a horse, so it wasn't like I was going to be able to rope or anything. And I figured out about the most affordable way for me to get in this was get my dad's old bareback rigging and go give her hell. And it just changed the whole course of my life. It changed the way I do things. Like, I mean, I was more of a timid guy, you know, as far as the way things were done. And once I figured out I could ride bareback horses and got that confidence, man, it's opened a lot of doors for me, just the confidence that comes from that. And it was all stuff that just came through rodeo, and it is a special deal, the whole rodeo thing.
I mean, there's nothing like it. And it's funny, right? Because kind of with our show, we've kind of strategically brought people on from other backgrounds to see if we can help grow, right, the sport. And we've done that. And we've been spending some time with some Major League Baseball players and guys you'd never think we're sitting out there and we're riding and we're teaching them how to rope. And it's just like that. When they touch it, when they see it, when they feel it, it changes their whole outlook on life. And those aren't even my words. You know, that's a five-time MLB All-Star, a guy named Ian Desmond, says that his life got changed the day that he started riding horses and swinging a rope. And that just happened to be what we had around for him. But it's interesting because people like you or even like Tim, he lives in town now. And that everybody can come from a different place and be a part of rodeo. And
yeah, that's the cool thing about the bareback riding. If you got a big old heart and you ain't scared of much and you'll give it everything you got when the gate opens, it's something you can figure out.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the neat thing too. Like I said the other day about rodeo, if you've got the heart, like Dylan said, and you want to go, these guys will give you, you know, everything they can. And Tilden, these guys, they'll teach you how to, they'll do the best they can to teach you how to win second. They're not going to teach you how to win first because
we hold a little back.
Yeah, they're all super competitive. They can teach you how to win second, but first you got to figure out on your own. Isn't that right, Till?
That's exactly right.
Well, I mean, gosh, I think right now bareback riding might have the toughest group of guys that's probably ever done it.
Yeah, I hate when people say that. Not I mean, I it's a huge compliment because I'm a part of that group, but I think we have a lot of advantages right now that guys before us didn't. We get on a lot better horses. We get on more of them. And I just think the guys that were great then, winners are going to figure out how to win. And you could take – I mean, we were at Sid's dad's house earlier with Larry Mahan, and he got a wild look in his eye. And I guarantee you, if his body would keep up, he'd come down and stroke one of these suckers tonight. You know what I mean? Like, it just – those guys that were great then would be great now, but it's a very special group of guys going right now, and it's as competitive as it's been since I've been around. Guys are taking care of themselves, working at it. You know, it's just – there's a lot of guys that are in the zone right now, and it's a coin flip every time we show up who's going to win. So it's,
I mean,
isn't
that
exciting.
The biggest difference though is that people understand the importance of health and fitness and how that goes with longevity a little more than maybe they did before, just because of,
well, I think people,
modern society just has changed a lot of the athletic part.
Yeah,
of it,
I think
maybe.
So, and I think there's a lot more money available in rodeo today. What Larry Mahan said earlier, the first year he went to the finals and got on 30 head, he didn't win $10,000, you know, and we're supposed to ride two and win $10,000, you know. And so when that kind of money is available and a guy can actually, you know, a guy like Clayton Bigelow has been coming in, you know, he's been going to the national finals since he was 19 years old, making $200,000 a year every year. You know, you do that for 10 years and a guy could set himself up to walk away from rodeo and not have to go do something else. And so it's not as much of a hobby as it can be a profession. And not that it was a hobby for any of those guys, you know what I mean? They put their life and soul into it, but the carrot at the end of the stick's a lot bigger, and so guys are willing to do a lot more than what maybe you used to have to, or what used to what guys did, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, Tilden's super humble. I mean, he's a good buddy of mine. That's one of the things I like the most about him. You know, but I'm like him. We talk all the time about, you know, these sports, and people come up and say, man, you guys are a lot better than the guys before. And Tilden and I have actually talked a lot about it, man. Like, I don't ever believe in taking things away from the people that came before us, because I'm like Tilden. The guys that won back then could win right now, and they laid the groundwork for everything that these guys do. And even in my event in the bulldogging, I mean, you know, cattle changed, horses changed. The actual way you do things can't change, because there's really only one real right way to do something.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, that's the neat thing about most cowboys, is they don't want to take away from it's really our heritage is a lot of what we're about. And so we don't really ever try to take away anything from the people that came before us.
Absolutely, because, I mean, without them, most of it couldn't be, right? It's one of those natural things that happens in any sports, though. I mean, you're always going to say, you know, they're going to compare a Floyd Mayweather to whoever.
Right.
Or
yeah.
I mean, that's just going to happen, right? Because that's the nature of competitive sports. But
LeBron James and Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, always.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes.
I go Michael Jordan.
Yeah, me too. LeBron's a punk.
I mean, he's, you know, you never want to say too much on air, but you know what I mean. You don't ever want to disrespect, and that's one thing. There's great respect in rodeo, but people from like a fan standpoint, their minds wander, and they're like, well, I mean, what would it be like if so-and-so was, you know, yeah, going right now, if Lou was going right now?
You know, too, the other thing about rodeo, too, is that, you know, even the guys that aren't on a world-class level, you know, rodeo is about respect.
Yep.
And I think if, and I've watched Till and I've watched all these guys, if you've got enough heart to run your hand in one of these riggins and crack your hand back, which they don't come out very easy, and you're willing to give it all you got, even if you don't get to a world-class level, everybody respects each other, because it's like in the UFC. I mean, there's some guys in the UFC that aren't very good. But let me tell you something, if they shut that gate behind you and you're willing to do it, I respect them.
Yeah.
How could you not?
Yeah, a bareback rider is a bareback rider. At the point where somebody's willing to try it, you're a bareback rider, you know. Now, are you a world champion bareback rider? Maybe not. You know what I mean? But I always think the bareback riding's funny, because I like to always like to point out to all the other rough stock events, like most of those guys have ridden a bull and ridden a bronc, and the bareback riders have done all the rough stock events. But if you start asking all those other rough stock guys how many of them have ridden a bareback, most of them are going to say no, they haven't. So I always think that's kind of cool.
And everybody's done some steer wrestling.
Yeah,
if you ask around, like, everybody bulldogged back in high school.
Not me. I shoot.
Well, not you.
I shoot dogged a little.
Yeah, I definitely didn't, but I'm 155 pounds.
Well, I think the I mean, and this has always been a thing with just the friends you make through rodeo, and I mean, I always say the beer stand, but that's a pretty general term for just hanging out after the rodeo or whatever. But the bareback riders are generally going to hang out with the bulldoggers. You know, the bulldoggers to me are kind of like the rough stock guys of the time to vent in, you know, and they travel a lot like rough stock guys. They'll pile three or four of them up in a truck and camper and
they
take off rodeoing. And they're all, I mean, they're a tight-knit group of guys. And the bareback riders are like that too, and I think that's a special thing. And I love the bulldog, and it's the only event in rodeo that I haven't tried besides barrel racing. So
hey, it's not too late. I can get you fixed up.
Hey, if you'll sign my waiver, and if I can get my mom to sign my waiver, we'll do.
Hey, but if you run a bulldog this year, you're not going to make me get on a bareback, are you?
No, I'm not going to make you. I'll try to talk you into it.
It is funny about bulldogging, though. I mean, I think anytime we talk about bulldogging, my biggest thing with bulldogging is always, like, it's a classy event, right? Because you're hazing for a guy who might beat you. I mean, there's a little bit of an integrity there to make sure you don't screw your buddy over, because he might win.
And you're probably he might be on your horse. Yeah. There's a lot of that.
And there's a lot of pressure hazing, you know. I mean, a lot of people talk about it. I didn't haze at the rodeos just because I didn't want that pressure. I didn't, you know, I wanted to stay away from that and just think about what I was doing. But, you know, these guys all pull each other's riggins and stuff too. And, I mean, I've never not witnessed these guys, if a horse bails in there and kicks over his head, not holler and scream for whoever's getting on. I mean, that's just
– I watched Tim O'Connell last year at the NFR. Casey got a re-ride. He's my traveling partner. I'm a lackluster traveling partner, I guess. But Tim had Casey's riggin on the horse and was pulling it for Casey for his re-ride at the National Finals Rodeo. And, I mean, there's just, you know – That's your competition. That's one of your biggest competitors right there, and you're trying to help them. And it ain't like you're trying to just get it on and, you know, maybe put it in the wrong spot. Like, these guys, like, if you see something go down out here, or a horse goes down or something bad happens, there'll be 24 bareback riders right in the middle of it. And that's what's special about this group of guys to me is it really is a band of brothers. And if the shit gets hot, you ain't got to worry. Those guys will be right beside you.
Absolutely. I mean, it's – makes it special, makes people who are watching, I mean, it makes you excited to see what everybody gets to do.
For sure.
And it's, there's not a lot of things where you have support from your competitors, so it's just, it's a special thing.
That's rodeo, like you said, yep.
It's rodeo.
Yep.
Yeah, and the bareback riding event, you know, like, the bulldogging was the second event of rodeo, bareback's first, so I didn't get to watch it much, but I've become a fan of it, and it's very exciting. And what would be even more exciting is if I walked out of this building and it was not raining.
Rain. I keep looking through that hole. And
well,
I'm
I can hear in my headphones. I feel like I can hear rain on this tin roof.
Yeah, it's pretty calming. You just fall asleep with the rain on the tin roof.
Considering I got to go out there and win that buckle here in a minute, I don't want to fall asleep.
Well, as Sid said, you won't catch him on a bareback horse.
No. I'm past that age where you start trying new things, especially something like riding bareback horses. So yeah, when I was bulldogging, if I had a few horses buck with me, and I always got off.
You bailed?
Oh yeah, I just looked for a nice place to step off, and I would try to do it gracefully.
Yeah.
But you know, I just that was just when they bucked, I said, hey, I'm a bulldogger. I'm not a saddle bronc rider.
I'm not hung up to this thing.
I can get off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I broke colts for a lot of my life. For money, which is a terrible job, don't ever do that. But you know, you never wanted to get off. You wanted to stay on because you wanted to stop bucking, so that whoever takes them back doesn't get.
Yeah, the ones
rocked.
I was on, they were supposed to already be broken, right? Bucking. So
you came at it from a different place.
That's
we were
right.
Starting the horses. But somebody like you, you probably never had to worry about any of that. You grew up in town.
Yeah, no, I did. It'd be crazy as it sounds, when I was 15, 16, 17 years old, I would have loved to do nothing more than what you were just talking about. I thought I did anyway,
yeah.
You know, and then. Anyway, I don't have a lot of experience riding saddle horses and different stuff, but I love horses and I love everything that is cowboy. And
do you have
horses
now?
Like I don't. No, I live about 10 miles north of the stockyards. I live in Saginaw. So I'm right in town. I'm not far.
Tillman comes out.
I live in Keller. You live right by me.
Yeah, so. Tillman will come out and practice his victory lap. Horseback out at my place sometimes. And
before the NFR.
Before the NFR.
To make sure you don't just slide off.
I am better at riding a saddle horse than Tim O'Connell. I've seen it. And I know that.
Hey, Tillman doesn't ride bad. He doesn't ride bad. It's just there's one speed for Till. It's full blast.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tim O'Connell goes wide as a ghost.
Yeah. Yep. He does. I noticed that I'm better than him at that, so I feel good about it.
Well, he's going to go work on it because you said that.
I know. I will too. We have that in common.
Well, cool, guys. You got to get ready to go ride.
Yep.
So, and we appreciate it. Appreciate you guys taking time to stop on the show.
Yeah.
Sid, guys, thanks for helping
us find
a place to be set up.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for being involved with this. If you guys aren't involved and people like you aren't involved, we don't get to do it. So we sure appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Keep doing the
thank
events.
You guys.
We'll keep being involved.
You bet. Won't you come on down now?
Whoa, brother. Let's go down. This has been The Gauge, hosted by me, Chance Conrado, produced and edited by our guy, Ty Yeager. Shout out to the executive producers, Dustin Pointer and Cody Denton. Marketing and content by Cassie Emerson. Our theme song is by Shay Ashshire and the Night Howlers. Make sure to rate and review this podcast, as well as follow The Gauge on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to The Gauge wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys next time.